fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. His faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Let's go, big fellow! I am Silver!
It was a hot day. The Lone Ranger and his Indian companion Tonto had stopped at the mission in response to a message they had received from friendly Indians in the territory. The two men listened as the padre talked.
I'm glad to know you already understand the bad situation in Frankton, amigos, and that you will try to do something about it.
Yes, padre. We had decided to go there even before we received your message. The influence of that man, Lewis Carter, is strong.
Too strong, my friend. Frankton today is a lawless town. The people fear Carter. Someone has driven into the patio. Excuse me, amigos, while I go to greet them.
Of course, padre.
Welcome, my friends. Come inside and rest.
How do you do, sir? My wife insisted that we stop at your mission for water. Otherwise, I would have kept...
I see that you wear the collar of a clergyman, amigo. Be assured that the mission is open to all.
I'm Parson Calvin Ashburn, sir. This is my wife.
How do you do, padre? My husband was hesitant about stopping because of the difference in our beliefs.
I understand. But, my son, are not you and I both servants of the Lord, each in his own way doing his part for man's salvation? Come in and rest, my friends.
Thank you, sir.
I must have you meet two very good friends of mine.
A masked man and an Indian.
Good morning. How?
I don't understand.
Do not be startled, my friends. I assure you the mask is a matter of convenience for doing good.
Thank you, padre.
And our good friend Tonto stands as a symbol of the equality his race will one day have with the best of men.
Since you paid him such tribute, padre, I'm sure we can trust him as friends, too. I'm Parson Ashburn, sir. This is my wife, Alma.
I'm happy to meet you, Parson. And you, Mrs. Ashburn.
Thank you.
Sit down and rest. I shall bring some cooling water for you.
Thank you, Father. Great
such a hot day.
Yes, it is. Are you going far, Parson?
Frankly, we have no set destination. I was an assistant to a clergyman in San Antonio. I've long felt the need of establishing my own church, preferably in a place where I could really do good.
I understand.
The people of our congregation took up a collection when I decided to leave. They gave me several thousand dollars with which to make a start somewhere else.
Here is the water.
Thank you.
Calvin is young. He wants to be more a part of the West.
Here, madam.
Thank you. There are so many small towns that need spiritual help.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Father.
It's just a question now of where we'll settle.
I know of a town where the type of help you offer is greatly needed, Parson. Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the place? Where is it, sir?
It's a town that will take a man of courage and determination. A lawless town that has no church. The town of Frankton, north of here.
You would suggest they settle in Frankton, amigo? He is young, just starting out. Surely there are other
Padre,
places.
Padre, I know of no other place that has greater need for what the parson has to offer. Of course, if he's looking for an easy job, someplace where the people can easily be formed into a congregation.
No. The town you speak of, Frankton, is more to my liking. I want to go where I'm really needed, where I can feel I'm doing the most good.
The trials in such a place would be great, amigo. Yet, you are young, tall and muscular, so that should force be needed...
I don't believe in physical force, Padre. I prefer the power of words.
My son, force used to overcome the influence of evil is commendable. But force used only to show one's power over others is an evil in itself.
I follow the admonition to turn the other cheek, Padre.
My son, remember, in righteous anger, heaven drove Lucifer and his followers to the depths by force. And in righteous anger, the Son of Heaven drove with a whip the evildoers from his father's temple.
Yes, that's true. But I hope to see it through my way. We'll go to Frankton, Alma. Let's be on our way.
I'll see you to the door, amigos.
I'm sure we'll meet again, Parson. Good luck, sir.
Bye, my friend.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Parson, strong-looking young fella. His words not do much in a place like Frankton.
He'll find out what the Padre meant, Tonto, when he spends a short time in Frankton. He'll probably need help. And you and I are going to be nearby to see that he gets it.
That afternoon, Calvin and Alma Ashburn followed the trail north from the mission in the direction of the town of Frankton. As they rode along in their buckboard a couple of miles from their destination, Alma spoke.
Calvin, I do hope you're doing the right thing. Perhaps it would be better to start somewhere else after all.
No, Alma. From what the masked man said, I feel that Frankton needs a church. I'm determined to... Well, look, three horsemen just rode out from behind some boulders up ahead.
They have bandanas covering part of their faces. Calvin, do you... Stop, Calvin. Stop the buckboard. They'll shoot to kill.
Oh, hold there, hold. Here they come, Alma. Don't be frightened.
Hey, look, fellas, it's a preacher.
Don't tell us you're heading for Frankton, mister.
As a matter of fact, we are going to Frankton.
Something tells me you're not going to like it
there. That's right, Squint. He sure won't.
We're wasting time. Toss over that black bag and let me see if you got anything of value in it.
Oh, Calvin, they just can't take that.
I guess the bag has got something worthwhile in it, Blackie.
Yeah. All right, get a move on, mister.
You wouldn't dare
no.
shoot.
No. This gun means business. Give me the bag there.
Very well. Here it is.
That's more like it. Cover him, Jake, while I look in the bag.
Sure, go ahead, Blackie.
This won't take a second. Holy mackerel, we struck it rich. Preacher was carrying plenty of money around with him.
Please, that money is to start a church. Surely you men wouldn't steal it.
You'd throw it away trying to start a church in Frankton, ma'am. Nobody in town would dare go to it even if you did get one started. Let's go, fellas. Adios, preacher.
Get up there. Come on, get up
there. Calvin, what are we going to do?
We'll drive on to Frankton, report the holdup. If it's the Lord's will, I shall start a church without any money. Get up there.
Thank you.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had taken a different and shorter trail from the mission. And that afternoon, they pitched camp in the hills a short distance from Frankton. Tonto went to town for a few supplies. It was dusk when he returned to camp with information for the Lone Ranger.
Oh, Scout. Oh, fella.
Easy, Scout.
Hey, Kemosabe. Any news in town?
Me see Parson Ashburn and wife come into town. Him talk to fella in front of hotel. Then Parson go to cafe. Me fella see why him go there.
Hey, look at that hombre coming in. He's dressed like a preacher.
He's got plenty of nerve to come here.
I beg your pardon, gentlemen.
Hey, you better talk to Mr. Carter. Here he comes now.
What brings you in here, missy? The looks of that color you're wearing, I reckon.
I'm Parson Ashburn. I've just arrived in Frankton.
I hope for your sake you're just passing through, Parson.
As a matter of fact, I came here purposely to start a church, Mr. Carter.
It takes money to get started, Parson. And you haven't any. I'm sure of that. Besides, we don't want a parson here in Frankton, do we, men? Well, speak up. Tell him you don't want him here.
That's right. You better go someplace else, Parson.
Here, we agree with Carter on that.
We sure.
In regard to the money part of it, I did have money until outlaws held us up a few miles from here and took it. I wanted to report the holdup and was told to come here. I hope to find the sheriff.
We don't have a sheriff here. You'd better forget what you lost. And like I said before, you'd better move on to another place to do your preaching.
No. No, I intend to stay here. But I'll manage somehow. I'm sure there are some here who'll help me get started.
Oh, wait a minute, Parson. Let me talk to you. What I say goes in this town, you understand? And I say you're getting out within 24 hours.
Men, I appeal to those...
Shut up and get out of here, pronto. Get out before I throw you out. Don't stick your nose in here again. Get out. And here's something to take with you.
Hey, you see that?
Very well. I'll leave the cafe. Good day, gentlemen.
And if you know what's good for you, you'll get out of town like I told you to. Yeah, you see, men, the parson's yeller, big as he is. I guess that faith he preaches about isn't strong enough to be of any help.
So, Parson, leave cafe. Men not think it good, strong young fella like him, back down so easy.
I'm afraid he's in for a rough time of it, Tonto. He tries to stay in Frankton.
That right. And him not get place to stay at hotel. Me watch. Parson, wife go round town trying to find room.
People are probably afraid to take them in.
Ah. Only one not afraid. Old woman named Widow Baxter. She give him place to stay in her house on edge of town.
I see. Tonto, I've been thinking about what took place in the cafe. It's strange Lewis Carter was so positive the parson didn't have any money, even before he heard about the robbery.
Matt right. Me not think of it that way.
If we can connect Carter with those outlaws, it would be the means of breaking his influence and putting him where he belongs.
Then parson have chance to start church.
Even with Carter out of the way, the parson would have to prove in some way that he's not a coward before he'd gain the people's respect. Right now, our first job is to catch those outlaws and get proof against Lewis Carter.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger drama. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Thank you.
to continue our story. After darkness fell, the Lone Ranger, with Tonto's help, disguised his features to look like a cowhand so that he could enter the town without causing alarm and go to the Widow Baxter's to talk to the parson. Then the two men set out along the trail under a bright full moon.
I'll find out from the parson where the holdup took place, Tonto. And we'll go there and try to pick up the trail of the outlaws.
Now, we soon reach old woman's place. It on this edge of town. It good parson wife find someone to take him in.
Yes, it is. Well, that sounds like a fire gong, Tonto.
Come from direction of Frankton.
When we reach the top of this hill, we'll have a view of the town. Come on, Silver.
Come up, Scout.
Urging their horses into a gallop, the Lone Ranger and Tonto raced toward the top of the hill. In a couple of moments, they reached it, and the town was in full view. The Lone Ranger called out.
I see the fire, Tonto. It's on this edge of town.
It's not good. That looked like Widow Baxter's place, where Parsons stayed.
Let's hurry. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
A short time later, the Lone Ranger and Tonto arrived and dismounted at the edge of the crowd and stood watching the burning building while others did what they could to stem the flames. Not wishing to approach the parson and his wife without his mask, the Lone Ranger stopped in the dark shadows and put it on. Then, by the flickering light from the fire, he saw them standing beside their buckboard away from the crowd. He approached and spoke to them.
I see you've run into trouble already, parson.
Yes, yes, we have. Oh, it's the masked man and the Indian.
Yes. They're the same ones we met at the mission.
That's right. Tonto told me what happened today at the cafe, Parson.
Isn't that right?
Very unpleasant, to say the least.
I also heard about your loss. Where did the robbery take place?
About 2 miles out on the west trail, where the big boulders are.
Tonto and I have things to do tonight. I suggest you and Mrs. Ashburn let us take you to our camp. We can make you comfortable there for the time being, and you'll have the camp to yourselves.
I had intended to stay in town and see this matter through.
I think we better go to their camp, Calvin. I do hope we can leave without attracting attention.
Your husband can lead the horses and buckboard around behind the barn as though to get them out of danger. A few minutes later, you can follow. Then Tonto and I can meet you there, and we'll leave without anyone noticing. You can return to town again under better conditions. Right now, we'll get you settled for the night at the camp.
Following the Lone Ranger's directions, the parson and his wife managed to get away without attracting attention. The Lone Ranger and Tonto took them to their camp where they were made comfortable. Then the Lone Ranger and the Indian rode to the spot where the holdup had taken place.
Moon, plenty bright, Kimasabi. Me see tracks made by outlaws here in trail.
Yes. I learned from the parson that there were three of them. I think they're tied in with Carter and set that fire. I figure they can't be too far from here. From what Carter said to the parson, he knew about the loss of the money. It stands to reason one of the outlaws must have reported to him. We'll see where their trail leads, Tonto. Let's go. Come on, Silver!
Come on, Scout!
In a small cabin about a quarter of a mile from town, the three outlaws, Squint, Jake, and Blackie, sat around a table having a heated discussion.
I'm telling you, Blackie, Jake, and I are getting tired of having to stay away from town all the time.
Yeah, and Carter don't pay us enough for the risk we take either. If anyone has seen us spilling that kerosene around the widow's back porch tonight, we might have got lead slung at us.
That's right. And if you ask me...
Mr.
Humphrey. Hey, what's the idea?
Hey, look, mister, you're making a mistake.
Maybe you've made the mistake. Maybe Carter doesn't like to be double-crossed.
Carter... You mean he sent you here?
Could be.
I don't get it. What do you mean Carter don't like to be double-crossed?
Maybe he found out there was supposed to be more money in the bag you took from the parson than there was.
That's a lie, and he knows it. We didn't touch that money. Carter counted it himself just before he put it in his safe at the cafe.
Maybe so. But as of right now, you men are through working for Carter.
What? It's just like that sneaking coyote to decide we know too much. Then send a gunslinger out to get rid of us.
As Squint spoke, Blackie, who was standing alongside the table with his chair between him and the Lone Ranger, suddenly raised his foot and sent the chair spinning toward the masked man. At the same time, Blackie went for his gun.
I'll get you. I'm hit.
Someone shot through the window.
He's got others with him.
Your trick didn't work.
Me watch through window. See him kick chair. Go for gun.
Oh, good work, Tonto. Now, take their guns.
All right.
He got guns.
Look, mister, don't gun us down in cold blood.
Help me tie and gag them, Tonto. And we'll leave them for a while. Make sure they're tied so they can't escape. We have other things to do, but I want them here when we come back. All right, let's get busy.
After tying the outlaws securely, the Lone Ranger and Tonto left the cabin. As they closed the door behind them, the Lone Ranger spoke.
Tonto, I want you to take a note to the sheriff in Leeton. You should get back here with him and his men by dawn.
Leeton, not far. And what you do, Kemosabe?
I'll wait here near the cabin until you get back with him. Then I'll go through with the rest of my plans. Hurry, Tonto. I'll move against Carter before he finds out anything is wrong.
Hurry. Adios.
Adios.
Get him up, scout.
It was just about dawn when Tonto returned with the sheriff and his men and found the Lone Ranger waiting near the outlaw's cabin. After a short talk with the sheriff and Tonto, the Lone Ranger left alone and rode to his camp. As he drew rein, the parson approached from the crude lean-to in which he and his wife had been resting.
Oh, Silver, oh, you just let me fill up.
Morning, masked man. Where were you?
Tonto and I followed the trail of the outlaws who robbed you.
Oh, did you find them?
Yes, we did. They're in the custody of the sheriff from Leeton. Tonto's with them now, waiting.
And you found the money bag?
No, but I know where it is. The man who faced you at the cafe, Lewis Carter, has it in his safe.
But I don't understand.
Carter's the boss of the outlaw gang. They were also the ones who set fire to Mrs. Baxter's home on orders from Carter.
Then Carter will be arrested?
Of course. I'm going into town to face him, and I'll pick up the sheriff and his men on the way.
With Carter out of the way, the money returned, I can start my church.
Yes, Parson. But I'm afraid you'll find it a bit rough anyway. See, the West is young and its men are tough. They respect a show of courage, even if the one who shows it takes a beating.
Why, you mean the men in Frankton think I'm a coward? Because I left the cafe when Mr. Carter slapped me?
Oh, I know your feelings about the use of force, Parson. So I understand what you did. But I'm afraid they didn't understand. You can, of course, find another town.
May I ride with you to town when you go to face Carter, sir? I have a saddle under the seat of the buckboard. I can use it on one of our horses.
Of course, Parson. I'll saddle your horse for you. Then we'll get started for town right away.
The Lone Ranger and the Parson left the camp and within a short time arrived at the cabin where the sheriff's posse and Tonto were waiting. Leaving a deputy to guard the outlaws in the cabin, the group set out for town. They rode leisurely and approached the cafe from the back, leaving their horses in a clump of cottonwoods.
Sheriff, we've delayed our arrival enough so that the cafe is open for business.
That's right. We'll divide up. Some go in the front way and some in the back, so that coyote Lewis Carter don't get a chance to pull anything.
Wait, just a minute, please.
What is it, Parson?
I want to go in the front door of the cafe and face Carter alone before all of his customers.
Carter say, if Parson come in again, him throw him out.
I suggest, Tonto, that you follow me in and see just what does happen. Do you agree to my request, gentlemen?
Well, now, Parson, from what I've heard of that hombre, Lewis Carter, maybe you better not try.
Sheriff. Sheriff, I have a feeling the Parson is about to gain a congregation. Good luck, Parson. We'll be on hand if you need us.
Lewis Carter was sitting at a rear table in the cafe when the Parson entered. Carter got up and walked slowly forward as the cafe crowd watched intently.
Look, here comes that Parson again. I thought he left town.
Well, Parson, like I heard somebody say, I thought you left town like I told you to.
I had no intention of leaving, Mr. Carter.
I guess you forgot what I said yesterday about what would happen if you came back in here.
I believe you said you'd throw me out.
Yes. You have a good memory. Now, maybe before I break you apart and toss you into the gutter, you'll tell me what brought you back in here.
Carter, you and your kind represent evil. My eyes have just been opened to the fact that there are times when action speaks louder than words in combating your kind. Your men stole my money.
What?
And your men set fire to Mrs. Baxter's home last night.
Hear that, men? Parson's gone loco. Well, he asked for it. Now I'm going to show him that no psalm-singing, mealy-mouthed hombre can come in here accusing me. They This is it, Parson.
Yes, this is it.
Hey, what a shot!
Don't you, Parson!
Carter showed first amusement, then surprise as the Parson retaliated his blows. The young Parson fought calmly but vigorously, while Lewis Carter gradually grew livid with rage as the townsman gained courage enough to urge on the Parson. The fight went on at a terrific pace. Lewis Carter began to realize he had more than met his match. Once he called out to the barkeep.
Ed! Come help throw him out!
I'm coming, boss!
You not help!
Hey! You got him,
finally, Carter sank to one knee after a heavy blow. As Parson Ashburn stood back to let him rise, Carter suddenly whipped out his gun.
I'll finish this right now.
No, you don't, Carter.
Oh, my head.
He would have killed you, Parson, because you've given him a thorough beating.
Look, the masked hombre. He's on the Parson side.
That Parson, what an hombre he is.
We come to get you, Carter. Your gang of outlaws have talked plenty. Also, since you left your safe unlocked, we just helped ourselves to the Parson's bag of money as we came through the back office. Here it is, Parson.
Thanks, Sheriff. It'll help get a church started if I can get a congregation together.
Here we're with you, Parson.
Sure.
Count on us.
I've learned what the Padre meant, my friend, when he said force used to overcome the influence of evil is commendable. I owe you both much.
The Padre will be happy for you, Parson. Tonto and I shall meet you outside. Come on, Tonto.
Who is the masked hombre anyhow, Parson? Where did he come from?
He's one I'm proud to call friend. Yet I don't even know his name.
Well, I can tell you something about him, Parson. He's on the side of the law and of the Lord and a friend to them who needs one. He's the Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger?
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. A part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.